to Your Good Health Radio, brought to you by Choose for Health. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and your host, Dr. David Friedman.
Our next guest transformed from workaholic Manhattan attorney to lead trainer and CEO for a global human development firm. He's here today to tell us how to turn our midlife crisis into a midlife calling. Welcome author of Pivot, The Art and Science of Reinventing Your Career and Life, Adam Markell.
Hey, David, thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it's great to have you. You know, midlife crisis seems to go hand in hand with being dissatisfied with life, bored, red sports cars, having affairs, even now divorces at an all-time high. You say midlife crisis is a myth. How do we beat it?
No, I don't know about a myth. I think it's actually something that's quite real in the lexicon of our society. People call it. In fact, my kids said to me a couple of years ago, I'm blessed, I'm married to my college sweetheart for 26 years, and we have four children, ranging from 24 years old down to 15. And I remember our youngest daughter saying, "Hey, Dad, are you going to go out and get your midlife crisis car?" I'm like, what does that mean? She goes, "You know, you got to go get a Porsche, right?" I'm like, "No, I'm not." And it really started me thinking about that whole the concept of the midlife crisis, and is it a myth, or is it something that the media concocts in order to just sort of keep people thinking about that time
right.
of life where where you're confused. Yeah,
maybe it's just it's a scapegoat that we go to. You know, why does this part of our life so often come, I guess, with regrets on where we are in life? And is there a way to overcome that midlife malaise?
Yeah, I mean, I think first of all, midlife is an interesting thing to begin with because people are living longer and working longer and all that kind of thing. So, I guess when I was a kid, midlife had one meaning in terms of an age. Maybe it was 45 or something like that. You know, and I think today midlife is not the same age certainly as when we were kids, when our parents were kids, and that kind of thing. But I don't think it's an age at all. I think really it is a time when you begin to ask different questions. And right. So it's more of a midlife curiosity that comes about. And again, the idea that you can turn a midlife curiosity into a midlife calling is fascinating to me because that's what my story is. I spent 18 years practicing New York City lawyer, 70, 80 hour a week kind of a person, workaholic. I'd sleep in the office on occasion, pretty disturbing at times. And that's, the story for a lot of people. You work a lot of your life away. And I didn't ask myself some really important questions until I was in my late 30s. And so what are some of those, important questions? Well, why am I here? Why was I born? What's my work? What am I supposed to do? What are my true gifts? And how do I, how would I like to, what's the kind of legacy that I'd like to leave behind? How do I want to be remembered? And those kinds of questions I didn't ask when I was in my 20s. All I was asking, as most people do, is, what can I do to pay the bills? What can I do to get enough money to buy a house, take care of the kids, feed and clothe and all that kind of stuff? And I worked, 10, 15 years before asking any serious questions. And so that's what I would say is midlife today is defined by the quality of certain questions or the seriousness of the questions you ask versus an age that you might, chronologically, be looking at.
Right. Do a lot of people confuse their long bucket list with midlife crisis? Maybe they're just saying, "Oh, I'm running out of time. I haven't visited here. Haven't done this."
Yeah. I mean, I think again, if you've got a bucket list, it's there because on some level you've been putting off certain things in your life that are really important to you. You know, it could have been a dream that you started to have when you were 8 years old to visit Morocco or some other exotic place in the world because you watched the movie Casablanca and all of a sudden you had this romantic idea that someday you'd like to, go to that part of the world. You'd like to visit Tangiers or someplace. And now you've put that off, until a time when you're better ready and the money's there and your life is in order and everything's lined, the stars are lined up. And so bucket list to me is a sign that a person's been putting off things. And oftentimes, those things are the things that become regrets. And that's not just about a trip. I mean, going a place or buying a certain kind of a car or something like that. Those are definitely important things in our lives. But I'm even thinking and write about more of what's going on the inside. What's the internal conversation like, and what have you been putting off that has been calling to you on the inside since maybe you were, you know, very, very young?
Right. A lot of people take advantage of the 364 tomorrows in a year, and we only have so many years. So, you know, I think they're getting to that point where, how many tomorrows do I have? And so you bring up a good point, is you got to have that purpose. One thing I do want to bring up is middle-aged divorces. They're on the rise. It's been even coined the gray divorce revolution. What can couples do to escape this marriage slump?
Oh, well, as somebody married for a long, you know, a long period of time, which goes by very quickly, as we know, I think that the best thing that you can do to escape a marriage slump is to be in real communication with your partner about what's going on internally. And my wife and I, we teach a relationship retreat, like a 5-day program, where we help couples to find out, you know, where are the areas for growth, for their own development. Use the term human development. So this is about marriage development. How do you develop your marriage over time? And I could say that when we were married 7 or 8 years, I wasn't sure if we would make it. You know, we were stressed out. You know, there was, you know, money was too tight. The kids were young. There was always a million things to do, and we were spending less and less time with each other. And so there are seven steps that we basically teach in this program where people can get on the same page. And I'll give you an example of what that looks like. There's this very important thing that Randy, in particular, as a woman, she says is important for other women. That is to take care of yourself, that you love yourself first. And I think it's just as important for men. So for me, I'm a swimmer, and I always love to swim. And I used to neglect going to the pool and swimming on the weekends for an hour, an hour and a half, or 2 hours, simply because I felt guilty, because I worked so hard and the weekends were time to catch up with kids and with Randy and all that. And I would walk around feeling resentful because I wasn't taking care of myself. And my wife wanted to spend some time working in women's circles. She loves to coach and mentor women. And she didn't do that for a period of time simply because of the same thing, you know, that I would be resentful that she left me with the kids and the shopping and all that stuff for a weekend. And it's that kind of thing that ultimately pulls people apart. In fact, the number one reason for divorce, because you raised that subject right up, is actually contempt. Like that with everything else that's going on in a marriage that's difficult, including money and responsibilities and, you know, sometimes other things happening, that the number one thing that splits people apart is the feeling of contempt.
Yeah, that makes sense. And also, I know variety is the spice of life, and people tend to get stuck on that hamster wheel, same restaurant, same TV shows, make the same breakfast each day. Can you give us maybe a tip or two? What can people do to add a little spice and maybe that, you know, wake up excited for tomorrow?
Oh, I'll give you more than a tip. I'll give you something for everybody that's listening, and it's going to be out there.
We got about a minute left, so if you can tell
perfect
us.
It's three simple steps. You do it for, you know, starting tomorrow morning, and do it for 21 days, and there will be true transformation in your life. So here it is. First thing you do, you wake up. That's the first step. Literally wake up tomorrow morning, and that itself is a blessing, because as you take your first waking breath, knowing in the deepest part of your consciousness that there will be people at that same exact moment who will be taking their very last breath. So you wake up. It's a waking up of yourself, waking up your consciousness,
Give us one quick one. We've got about 30 seconds. Give us one more quick one.
Second, gratitude. Be in gratitude for something in your life, including the fact that you've just now woken up. And lastly, you put your feet on the floor. You stand up, which is a blessing all by itself, and you declare, you know, either out loud or inside, I love my life. You do that for 21 days, David, and people will be writing to you or calling in to say, you know, my life has shifted in ways that are miraculous.
Thank you so much, Adam, for sharing such great information. To order your copy of Pivot, go to pivotbook.com. While you're there, make sure you sign up for his newsletter. You can follow Adam on Twitter at Adam Markell. Our daily health tweets are at Dr. David Friedman. If you know someone that can benefit with anything you heard today, send them to our podcast at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. Be well.